Hey, what's in your wallet? Let's find out today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
There's an underlying problem with the people of the Old Testament, with the people of the New Testament, with the people today. We have a problem with money and materialism. We tend to look to money and materialism to meet our needs. And the Lord Jesus himself spoke more about money than he did about heaven, than he did about hell. Why? Because if you're not careful, you're going to love money, and the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And the Lord has much he wants to tell us about our money and himself.
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from his heart.
When the economy is struggling and our culture believes only money can bring happiness, today's topic is very timely. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and he's in his timely series, The Power of Giving. Today, we'll be reminded again that God is a giver, and he has told us over and over again in his word that we are to be givers as well, expectant, grateful, generous, and cheerful givers. The message is called, What's in Your Wallet? Now, if you have a Bible available to you now, you can open it to the Old Testament and the book of Malachi as we learn more about our money and the power of giving from God's perspective. Here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, I have a friend. His name is Mike Lurch. He's been my best friend since seventh grade. We've stayed good friends all through the years. And then Mike left to go into the financial world. He took his Series 7 license and he became a stock trader and a bond trader and all that stuff. Well, when I left to go in the ministry, I took all my 401k and I put it with Mike. And I let him invest it all. We liked the movie Wall Street. Remember the movie Wall Street? Wall Street had Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen. Michael Douglas was the big hotshot. He was Gordon Gekko. And Charlie Sheen was Bud Fox, the guy trying to sell him stuff. So I always called Mike Bud. He was my Bud Fox. And I was like the multi-billionaire Gordon Gekko, although it was multi-thousands that I had with him. But I would talk to him like that. I'd call him up. Money never sleeps, Bud. What are you doing for me today? How are you helping me? He said, hey, I got a tip for you one day. He told me this. He said, I have a hot stock tip for you. It's a new company starting up. It's an IPO. Mike said, Jeff, the guy that works next to me at the cubicle next to me, he's putting in $150,000. He mortgaged his house to get in on this deal. He said, Jeff, you know, my brother, Sammy, who's very wealthy and in that same business, he said, he's putting a bunch of money in it. I'm putting money in it. You need to put money in it. I said, sign me up. I'm Gordon Gekko. Yes, I'll put money in it. The day I put money into it, I think they must have told the company, hey, and it just went down, down, down. It was just so bad. I got a statement one day from this company. The stock was now worth 10 cents a share. I couldn't believe it. I call up Mike. I said in my best Gordon Gekko impersonation, I am losing millions, pal. I was losing hundreds, but I said, it made it sound better to say millions. I said, how does a company even stay in business when their stock's only worth 10 cents a share? He said, I've been meaning to call you. They're not in business anymore. My whole investment gone. It was a surefire hit. It was a home run. It was supposed to be ironclad. You're going to make so much money off this deal. And it was a total loss, a total bust. Has anybody ever had that kind of problem where when it comes to stocks and things like that, you just seem to have a knack for buying high and selling low? Does anybody have that problem? I have that problem. And you know, everyone is wanting to look for a home run financially. I mean, we'd all want to get in on something that we knew was going to be a surefire hit. You invest your money here and it is going to grow. It is going to pay dividends. It's going to be a great deal. Now, I know of such an investment. It's not because I got a tip from my buddy Mike. It's not because some guy next to him mortgaged his house to put money into this. It's because I got a tip from Almighty God. God knows where the investments are. And God has said in his word, hey, if you want an investment that will not lose, that cannot lose, that will always pay huge, wonderful, awesome dividends, that will be a great return on your investment, invest your money here. You say, hey, I'll do it. Where is it? Where do I invest my money? It's in the kingdom of God, in the work of the kingdom of God. That's where God says, put your money. That's where God says, put your money, because that is what God will bless and God will multiply in a great and awesome way. What does God want you and me to do? Give him first place in our finances, honor him with our finances. And you know what the truth of the matter is? Very simple. Most people don't do it. Most Christians don't do it. They don't get in on God's investment program. They don't honor God with their wealth. They say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. And they hear about it. They maybe know about it, but they're not going to do it. Do you know in the Bible, really, when you read the Old Testament, the New Testament, there's an underlying problem with the people of the Old Testament, with the people of the New Testament, with the people today. You know what that problem is? We have a problem with money and materialism. We tend to look to money and materialism to meet our needs. Why? Because we live in a world just like they lived in a world where you have to have means to get along. So you look to that stuff. And there's always the danger of falling in love with money. See, money's not the root of all evil. The Lord says the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. And the Lord Jesus himself spoke more about money than he did about heaven, than he did about hell. About half of the parables that he told dealt with money and possessions. Why? Because you can't serve God and money. And because if you're not careful, you're going to love money. And the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. So today we want to look at this subject. What's in your wallet? What's in your wallet? It's a popular little catchphrase today for Capital One. What's in your wallet? Well, God has the same question. What's in your wallet? What are you doing with your money? We're in a series called The Power of Giving. And the Lord has much he wants to tell us about our money and himself. Malachi chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 7. Malachi, the prophet, was a prophet in Israel about 430 BC. God's people had been in exile in Babylon, and then under Cyrus the Great, 539 BC, a bunch of them went back from exile. They went back to Jerusalem to rebuild their homeland, to rebuild their lives. They rebuilt the temple. And then Nehemiah came in 450 BC, he rebuilt the wall of the city so that the people could dwell in the city and be safe. Well, here it is about 430 BC, and things aren't going good. And the people are upset because the blessings of God, it's like, where are the blessings of God? And although the people had returned to Jerusalem physically, they hadn't returned in their hearts. And so the Lord says this to them in verse 7. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Watch this. They were far away in heart. Return to me and I'll return to you. How shall we return? And the very next verse, God says, what's in your wallet? He says to them in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Wow, that's a good deal. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. What does the Bible have to say about your money and your God? Three important truths. Truth number one, God commands you to tithe.
Pastor Jeff Shreve returns on From His Heart in just a moment to begin breaking down exactly what the tithe is. So stay with us. A big question we all have to answer is this. What does the Bible say about your money? Well, we find some of these important answers in the book of Malachi chapter 3. God is clear about tithing and the blessing that comes with the obedience to Him in this area. The bigger question, however, is, will you trust God with your finances and follow Him in obedience? Today's message, entitled, What's in Your Wallet?, is part of a four-message series called The Power of Giving that Pastor Jeff is preaching through this week. And you'll discover what it means to see giving as a blessing to you and not specifically for those who receive your gift. Now, today we've only got time for part one of the lesson, part two tomorrow. But if you'd like to listen to these broadcasts again once they've aired, you can do that online at fromhisheart.org, or you can order a full-length copy of the message What's in Your Wallet, or get it in Pastor Jeff's series, The Power of Giving. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. The series is available on CDs, DVDs, and MP3 download, or as a USB flash drive. Again, just call 866-40-BIBLE. Here's Pastor Jeff to bring this broadcast to a conclusion today with some wise biblical insight about tithing.
God commands you to tithe. You say, tithe? What is tithe? I never heard of that word, tithe. Well, tithe is a Bible word. It's a word that people hear at church. It's not a word that most people use out in the workforce. It's not out in the community. You don't talk about it at school or in the neighborhood, tithe. But tithe, literally, all it means is tenth. Tenth. God commands you to give a tenth to Him. Jacob said this in Genesis chapter 28, verse 22, and of all that you give me, God, I will surely give a tenth to you. Whatever God gives to you, you give a tenth to Him. That's the tithe. God commands you to do it. See, the tithe belongs to God. It belongs to God. Look what he says in Leviticus 27, verse 30. Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Those people back then were all in agriculture. They were all involved in farming. And God says, everything you farm, a tenth of it is mine. It belongs to me. It's not yours. It is mine. God says, give me what's mine. He commands you to tithe. The tithe belongs to God. And failing to tithe is stealing from God. Will a man rob God? But you are robbing me. We wouldn't rob you, Lord. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. That's how you're robbing me. Now, would we get 100% consensus in this room today that stealing is wrong? Would anyone in here say, well, no, I think stealing is a good thing. I think stealing is right. I think God's all for stealing. No, God's against stealing. The eighth commandment says, you shall not steal. All of us would agree. No, we don't want anybody stealing our stuff. God doesn't want people stealing His stuff either. Stealing is wrong. Now, if I were to do something today, something kind of interesting, kind of fun, I have this wallet that my wife got me for my birthday. You know, inside my wallet, I have $52 and two tickets to Randy Travis. If I were to take my wallet and I'll start over here and hand it to you and ask everybody, just keep passing it along, just serpentine my wallet all over the congregation. And everybody who gets my wallet is put on the big screen. Do you think anyone would steal from me this morning on the big screen? You think anybody would dip in there and say, whoa, I forgot to get my Randy Travis tickets. I think I'll take those out. No, I don't think anybody would do that. I think you're here and you'd say, well, Pastor Jeff, I wouldn't want to steal from you. I wouldn't want to rob you. You're my pastor. That wouldn't be a good thing. And it'd be extra bad because you got me on the big screen. Everybody would see me do it. You wouldn't steal from Pastor Jeff. You're on the big screen. Do you know everything in your life is on the big screen when it comes to God? Everything. Hebrews 4:13 says this, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. God sees when you steal from him, when you rob him. See, because the tenth of all he gives you is his. It's not yours, it's his. And if you don't give to God what is rightfully his, you're robbing him. You're robbing him. And then what the people were doing here, what so many people do today, they have the audacity as they rob God, they have the audacity to pray to God and ask God to bless them in the area of finances. God is taken aback. Man, you've been stealing out of my wallet. My tithe is in your wallet. You've been taking it from me. And then you turn around and you ask me to bless you financially. How would that work with Guido the loan shark if you were stealing from him? You'd have two broken kneecaps. That's what you'd have. He wouldn't be blessing you. And God says you're cursed with a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Now, have you ever been robbed? Anybody in here ever been robbed? Sure. Lots of us been robbed. How does it make you feel when somebody steals from you? Somebody robs you? It's a bad feeling, isn't it? How about if that robber is your own son or your own daughter? I have a friend of mine. His name's David. He and I played some basketball together after we both got out of college, and we ran around together some. And I remember David was telling me about getting involved with cocaine. David grew up in a home where his father made a lot of money, and David kind of had lots of nice things, nice cars and a lake house and a boat and all this stuff. And he got involved with cocaine, and he loved it. He said, because with cocaine, I could play hard and I could party hard, and it was just a wonderful drug. Well, it began to consume his life, as drugs do. And then he began to need more and more, and he began to need money to buy the drug, and he was running out of money. And he said, one day I went into my dad's closet, and I pulled out of his jewelry box his Rolex watch, and I took it to the pawn shop, and I pawned it, got the money to buy drugs. Wow. I said, David, did your dad ever find out that you did that? He said, yeah, I had to tell him. I said, what did your dad do when he found out? He said he cried because his own son had stolen from him. Hurts. What do you think it feels like to God when his children steal from him? The God who wants to pour out blessings, his children stealing from him. The wallet goes around the congregation, God's wallet, and people are taking out of his wallet. It hurts him. Hurts him. Oh, you say, Jeff, yeah, but wait a minute. You are in the Old Testament. This was to people who were under the law. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. So this doesn't apply to us. Oh, really? You know who the first person to pay tithes was? Abraham. Abraham wasn't under the law. The law didn't come until Moses. Abraham lived hundreds of years before Moses came on the scene. Abraham paid tithes to a guy named Melchizedek, king of righteousness, king of peace. He's a picture of Christ. The Bible talks about that in Hebrews chapter 7. Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Abraham paid tithes to him, paid a tenth to him. Abraham's son, Jacob, his grandson, Jacob, he said, of all that I have, all that you give me, God, I'll give you a tenth. I'll give you a tithe. He paid tithes way before the law. You say, yeah, but Jesus never said anything about tithing. Surely if it was an important thing, Jesus would have mentioned something about it. Oh, Jesus never said anything about it, did he? Well, look at Matthew 23:23. Jesus talking to the Pharisees and to the religious leaders. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites? For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Did you catch that? You should tithe, yes. But it's more than just that. They were just so legalistic. They would tithe mint and dill and cumin, all the herbs from their garden. But they neglected justice and mercy and love, those things that are so very, very important. They neglected all that. But Jesus didn't say, why are you even bothering tithing? Just focus on these other things. No, he said, you should tithe. Yes, he commended it. Now, I want you to think about something. If Abraham, concerning the tithe, if Abraham commenced it and Jacob continued it and Moses commanded it and Malachi compelled it and Jesus commended it, who are you to cancel it? We can't cancel it. Can't cancel it. The tithe is still in effect for today. And how shameful for a Christian saved by grace to give less to the Lord than a Jew under law. See, the Bible here talks about tithes and offerings. The tithe is the Lord's, that's 10% of what you have. You don't even start to give to God until you give an offering above the tithe. I mean, if you have an employee that works for you and you give him his paycheck at the end of the week, have you really given him anything? No, that's his. He worked for that. That belongs to him. You haven't given him anything. If you give him a bonus, that's a gift over and above what already belongs to him. See, the Bible talks about tithes. That's what belongs to God, 10%, and offerings. And we're to give both to the Lord. God commands you and commands me to tithe.
Well, we've only really begun this message with Pastor Jeff about the tithe and what it is, and one of the most important truths associated with it, that God commands you and me to tithe from what we make. Make sure you're with us next time as we continue to discover what the Bible has to say about the power of giving. From His Heart is here each day because the program is touching lives and hearts with practical biblical teaching from Pastor Jeff Shreve. Your support goes directly into producing and distributing these messages on radio, television, and online to a lost and a hurting world all over the world. We'll say thanks for your gift this month by sending you Pastor Jeff's eye-opening four-message series, Beyond Ourselves, Living and Giving to the Glory of God. It's available in multiple formats when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. And also, you can go online to fromhisheart.org to make your gift of any amount. And thank you for joining with us to help speak the truth to others around the world, helping them learn to live beyond themselves. Well, time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles, and a big thank you for listening, and we trust you heard a powerful word from God through Pastor Jeff, and you'll apply that truth to your life and see the fruit God wants you to bear in this life and enjoy the next life. We also trust you'll join us tomorrow to conclude the message, What's in Your Wallet? That's on Thursday when we open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.